Okay, I'm going to present our global climate and weather modeling system, primarily more on the weather aspects than the climate aspect. I want to put up this slide because I knew Noah loves it. And it also demonstrates, as Bill was mentioning and leading up to me here, that the global system really is the central part of our system. Any improvements in the global system feeds into all our other downstream modeling systems.
John, hold up the mic here, close in your mouth.
Okay. Sorry.
There you go.
Okay. You'll probably have to remind me a few times here. So my basic outline of what I'm going to talk about are what we've done in the last year. The first thing, a big thing, we spent a lot of time, over half of our time, half a year on, is transitioning to a new WCOS system. We don't want to minimize that. That was a major effort. Involved all of our members of not only the global branch, but all the branches in our center. And we probably spent half of our year on that transition. We've also transitioned to new code management procedures within the global branch. This, I think, is not a particularly nice thing to do. It takes a lot of effort. There's still, we're not completely there yet, but we're quite a ways along this path. With this new code management system, we hope to be able to monitor our changes, make fewer mistakes in our development, and also to allow external people to participate in our code and model development in a much easier way. We've been moving all of the EMC systems over to this slowly over the last few years, and we're getting close to having all of our systems working with the new code management system, and I think it's been a big plus for our development capabilities. So in the last year, we've had, beyond the WCOS transition, a couple of implementations. Maybe not the biggest implementations this year because of the WCOS, but there have been significant implementations. First of them was the data upgrade, which was, I was trying to find the exact date this morning. I couldn't find it. I believe it was September, October of this year, in which we added 5 additional satellite instruments, the SUMI MPP, CRIS data, the PETOP-B, MSU-A, MHS, and GROWS, and the Meteosite 10 Zediri data. This is quite a bit of additional data to our simulation system. However, most of these instruments are in similar orbits and are similar to some of the current satellite instruments we are already using, such as for the CRIS data, it's in a similar orbit to the AIRS instrument on the AQUA satellite, which is still running beyond this end of its planned lifetime. METOP-B data is in a similar orbit to METOP-A, but they are transitioning to METOP-B as being the primary satellite, so the availability of METOP-A data is and will be decreasing. Meteosat 10 basically replaced Meteosat 9. This is part of our maintenance procedure to go into these new, keep up with the observing system. The observing system is continually evolving. But because they are in the similar orbits and are similar to the last current satellites, we didn't expect really much of an impact, including this additional data. It's primarily a maintenance issue of keeping up with the observing system. However, just one additional thing, the one data that is really significantly different than our previous data was the CRIS data, similar to the AIRS information, the AIRS data, but quite different instrument. And in this one, we are using 84 channels, which is similar to our IOSI channel selection. Obviously, we can use more channels from that data, and it is something we are working on. For the other data, it was very similar to the previous instruments, so we just used them in a very similar way. Okay, so some of the examples of what we compare to. Fortunately, as I keep bringing up here, we had to do this work at the same time we were transitioning to the WCOS. So we really have 3 different experiments here, 2 different controls. One is on the GFS, which is our operational system, which most of the time period I'm going to show was run on CCS, even though right towards the end it was transitioned to the new operational machine. Our control, which was run on the new operational machine throughout the entire period. The two are not identical, and they can't be identical because we had to make some, we fixed some bugs as we're moving from the CCS machine. There are some things that would run just fine on the CCS, even though it was a bug or a little, but they didn't run so fine on the WCOS, different machine, different hardware, different software on the machine. So we had to make some changes. And not only primarily bug fixes, but there are, as we're doing these things, we had to make some improvements to the system as well, because we had to make changes anyway because the old system just did not work. Okay, so the real experiment is in red on these plots, which is the control plus the radius upper gradient. Now, as you'll note in these plots, oftentimes the differences between the WCOS and the CCS runs are actually as big or larger than the signal from the new radiances. This is an indication of how small some of these changes are from adding all this additional data. This is the day-to-day anomaly correlations over the month. We have the averages here. The new experiments over the control is 0.7 anomaly correlation points higher. Not much of an improvement. This is one of the dropouts that Louis was referring to here. Both the transition to the new machine actually reduced this dropout, and adding some additional data reduces some as well, but it's still available in our system. Still there in our system where we have a reduction in skill on that day. You can see here, this is just a histogram denoting the frequency of the various forecast skills. We removed this very low score here in the Northern Hemisphere, and there is a slight shift to the positive from including the additional data, which is a good, obviously a good thing. So there does appear to be some slight improvement in our forecast skill by including all this data.
John, didn't the European Center set up the same dropout at the same time?
I believe so, yes.
Does that tell you anything?
It tells us that there's a lot of different reasons for these dropouts, and it may just been a difficult forecast situation. That's one of the problems. Okay. Well, let me move on here. This is the Southern Hemisphere. Less difference between the two in the Southern Hemisphere. The tropics, we have, first of all, this is our old GFS system. We had some improvement, actually, just from moving to the WCOS system and some of the improvements to the system we made. And we had some additional improvement in the tropical winds. Very small, though, not even significant from including the additional data. In terms of forecast precip skill, I do want to one of the reasons I'm showing this here is we do look at a lot of different things. We look at a lot more things than what I'm showing here as well when we're doing these forecast changes. But basically, no impact in the short-term forecasts. A bit more impact, but still not significant, quite significant in our forecast skills from including the additional data and longer-term forecasts. But it's really not a negative of including this data. This is a comparison to the Fitcher observations. You probably can't see very well here, but this is quite common here. There's a dashed line and a solid line almost on top of each other. This is the impact of the Fitcher observations. Very difficult to see as it is in most implementations. Lastly, we do look at the hurricane skill scores as well. This is for the Eastern Pacific Basin. I chose this one because we had the most storms during this testing period. But there still weren't a whole lot of storms here. This is very similar to the results we saw in the other basins as well. But unfortunately, it's not a very robust statistic because we don't have very many storms. Now, the Hurricane Center often lets us go back to previous hurricane seasons to do tests there. But this is one of the cases where it's impossible to do that because we don't have the new data back for the earlier hurricane seasons. So we really just have to go on one system. Okay, a last upgrade. This is a minor one here. We have originally been requested to add a flight level 410 by November of this year. Then, right before the implementation of that level, we were told they were going to ask for three more levels. So we wanted to be proactive. We added all four levels to our WAS grids here, and this was done on time, despite the government shutdown. So let me get to some of our plans here, probably what most of you are interested in. We've heard a few mentions of our next global implementation, which is a T153464 level version. We recently finalized what our basic code, our basic system going into it. We're still doing some tuning and initial testing for the system right now. We plan on doing that for about an additional month, and from which time we'll start our retrospective testing. And depending on the how that retrospective testing will determine the implementation dates here. One of the things we did really recently was to separate out the GEFS upgrade from our system, where initially we're going to try to integrate that and upgrade them both at the same time. However, that just resulted in too much of a computational burden in our testing in order to make it be able to do it in any reasonable period of time. So we separated that out. We will unify this in a later upgrade later in the year, a few months after this implementation. Right now, we have one major issue with the system we're trying to solve. I say two there. It may just be one. It may be both the same issue. Very easily could be. We have a bit too warm surface temperatures, and we also have a loss of ozone in our forecast out to 10 days. And we're looking at some options here. I hope to have this issue solved by the end of the week. We have certain risks with this. We have a pretty aggressive testing timetable to get these tests done. We have a lot of, we run our testing much more than any other operational center. Sorry, Bill, I didn't put this up. We test our upgrades for much longer time periods. We have pretty aggressive testing timetable, and we do test them, we don't know what the results of those testing is going to be. We may have some science issues that we may have to address as we're concluding our testing. We have been aggressive here in giving our downstream users some early access to the output files, because we're changing the output files. It's a very large increase in the size of some of these files. And so we're also switching our output from a proposed processor from buffer to buffer two, excuse me, grid one to grid two. I'm sorry, my mistake there. And NCO has been working on changing their downstream processing for this development. That's a lot of work involved in that step as well. So some of the model highlights are T1534 assembly Lagrangian. We're able to increase our resolution so dramatically because we're going to assembly Lagrangian form model, much more efficient way of integrating here. We're planning on putting into operations in the same execution time as our current operation system, about a 13-kilometer global model. We're using high-resolution daily SST and sea ice analysis rather than using weekly averages, which we've done up to this point. We're planning on increasing our high resolution, continuing our high resolution out to 10 days. This may actually decrease our forecast still here because from 7 to 10 days, because just having higher resolution sometimes will degrade the forecast. By doing the smoothing of going to lower resolution allows the scores to be higher. That doesn't mean the forecasts themselves are actually degraded. Many changes to our physics here, cloud estimates, and how we do our cloud estimation in our forecast model, rate modifications to our rate of radiation. Reduced drag coefficient at high wind speeds. This is actually a fairly small impact on our forecast, but I want to bring this out as one of the things that our hurricane development has been looking into, the drag coefficients and the function of how they evolve for very high wind speeds. And this is one of the feedbacks of our hurricane development back into our global system. We have a stationary gravity, convective gravity wave drag into our system. We've been listening to complaints about how our model forecast fields in our post and our model are inconsistent with each other, so we made some modifications to ensure that they will be consistent, and also some upgrades to our land surface model in order to to improve some of the soil moisture and some of our roughness blanks issues. In the post-processor, because these files and the amount of data we're handling, we had to go do a lot of work on optimizing our post-processor to make it run a lot faster and use less memory. And we sped it up considerably, and it really works much better than it used to. We're producing quarter degree post files instead of our master grid file, and we are switching to grid 2. Originally, we had planned on making an eighth degree, but a lot of our downstream users had difficulty handling the size of those files, and also computational expense of creating the eighth degree was just too much to fit into our operational environment. Along with the switch from the running full resolution up to 10 days, we're planning on changing our precipitation buckets to 6 hours between day 8 and day 10, so it's consistent with the days 1 through 7. This is actually one of the more difficult things to do because it impacts all of the downstream AWIPs and downstream users. We're adding a lot of additional user requested fields into our post processing field. And we're upgrading our buffer station list to be unified with the NAM station list, basically adding a significant number of additional stations to it. In the analysis, we're doing our analysis increment at T574 as opposed to T1534. That's all we can afford computationally. This is similar to what a lot of the other operational centers do, where they make their increment at smaller scales, but we still calculate it as a, we still use the high resolution forecast. Observations. We've made some pretty significant improvements in our use of the radiances for the new version of the radio transfer, additional bias correction, and we're also going to include the SSMIS data in our simulation system. For the ENKF that's used in the hybrid system, we're increasing the resolution of that to T574, similar to Grandin. Okay, just our overall plans for our future here. As I mentioned, we've taken out the GEFS in the system, and we're still trying to unify it. We're still going to unify it with our global system, but it's going to come a little bit later. In our next implementation, we're moving our GFS system to the NEM system, planning on increasing first the vertical resolution and then making an additional increase to horizontal resolution to somewhere on the order of T2000 with about 128 levels. Continue to work on the physics, making a non-hydrostatic version of the GFS. As we get to higher and higher resolutions, that becomes more important. With the analysis, we're going to go to the 4D hybrid. I believe the next talk is by Daryl Kleiss, and he'll be talking about that in the next one. Continuing to work on improving use of our observations, including cloudy radiances, increasing bias correction of our aircraft data. And with the SWPC, we're working on a whole atmospheric model, which extends to much higher levels, and also enhancing our aerosol forecast systems. And with the last two, we plan in the future as well to use those lower resolution forecasts there to provide boundary conditions, essentially boundary conditions, on the above the top of the model, so we can make better use of a lot of the satellite data, and also use our aerosol predictions, lower resolution aerosol predictions, to improve our aerosol fields within our high resolution forecast model. Okay, thanks.
John,
in regard to increasing resolution, you're talking here, I think, only about horizontal resolution. Is there a way to separate the effect of comparable increase or the relevant increase in the vertical resolution. And in that regard, and the slide that was shown earlier with the increase in skill as a function of resolution and physics, considering just the resolution, was there any determination of the relative contribution of horizontal and to vertical resolution?
Well, obviously, both horizontal and vertical resolution are quite important. The vertical is actually a much more difficult upgrade to our system because it impacts the physics in a much to much greater extent than the horizontal resolution is. So obviously, we want to improve both of them. At this stage, that's why we have a staggered system here where we increase the horizontal resolution, and then with the next implementation, we're looking towards vertical resolution, followed by another increase in the horizontal resolution.
Was that a great increase in forecast skill on sanding? Did the increased resolution only horizontal resolution?
So that was only horizontal, yes. That was only horizontal. There's a lot of, it's very sensitive. That forecast is very sensitive to a lot of different details in the model. If you change the physics,
and observation.
And observations. Different initial, small changes, initial conditions, small changes to any component of the system can make a big impact on the forecast track of Sandy. It's a very sensitive forecast situation.
Do you lose anything by not having the resolution of the data assimilation comparable to the resolution of the deterministic model?
Of course we lose something. We would like to do everything at the full resolution. But these are the compromises we always have to make in our operational system.